In our Samacham and Aleph, and let us review where we're holding. Rabbi Yochanan said that when a guy from the Kaddish Max of Akash Leshem Yahim, Rabbi Yochanan was a third opinion, and he held it was a process. The Kedushin starts now and moves on till the end of 30 days, it's finished. That was the way Rabbi Yochanan explained it. So we had a question because the Mishnah said that if a person says, Mahayayim Ulach Misa, and then he dies, she can't have Yibum, she can only have Chalitza. Because, according to Rav, it makes sense, because we don't know whether he divorced her or not, because Mayayim Alach HaMisa, maybe he changed his mind. According to Shmuel, going like the Tana that says, Mayayim Alach HaMisa, he might have changed his mind. But Rabbi Yochanan had said that it's a process. If it's a process, it's nothing, because a partial get is worthless, because of Aloch of Krisus. So how can we say she can't have Yibum? She should be able to have Yibum. Why shouldn't she have Yibum? She's married to the guy. He started the process of get. The process of get never finished. And when the process of get never finished, that means she's not divorced at all. Because Teresa says get has to be totality of get. It's not total, it's not a get. So it's nothing. So she's married to the first husband when he died. So she has to need Yibum. So why does the Mishnah say she can't have Yibum? That was the question that we had yesterday. Rava came along, and he answered, because there is a krisus. He started the process of a get, and then he died. So at the end of the day, she's not bound to him anymore. So we don't void the get completely. The get started the krisus process. It wasn't a get yet because it didn't finish the krisus, but then death came along and severed the rest of the relationship. So she's viewed as a partial grusha. Even though grusha has to be in totality, that's if there's still a relationship. Death severed that relationship. So now, at the end, she's a partial grusha and a partial amana. That's why she gets chalitza and no yibum. That's how Rava looked at it. And again, let me explain Rava, because Abai is going to jump on it right away. But Rava seems to say the only time a get is not a get till it's in totality is if it's partially divorced, and partially bound to him. So the Torah says there's no such thing. A get has to be complete. If not, it's not a get. But what if it's partially divorced and partially widowed? So then it might be a partial get, because she is completely severed from him. And therefore, since she's completely severed from him, there is no problem if the get didn't accomplish severing the relationship. It didn't do it by itself. It got an assist. But the bottom line is now, she is partially divorced and partially widowed. There's no relationship to the husband. So that partial get can work. That's what Rava is saying. Abaya is going to jump on him.
But according to that, can a Kohen head yet marry her?
No, because she's a partial grusha.
And that's very important.
That's what I said. I said she's a partial grusha, partial amana. You're right.
She's a ashes achet.
What?
Grusha achet.
Partially. That's why no yibum. But yes, chalitza, because she's partially not grusha zachas.
Chalitza doesn't have any lasting.
What do you mean, chalitza? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
She gets free. She can't marry anybody else without chalitza.
Oh, she's a.
Here the guy dies.
Until she gets.
Exactly. Chalitza is necessary. That's what the Mishnah says. Chalitza is loyim zevemis.
She's a right.
Hey,
that was a call when you
laid
any sleep.
Well, she is the Yavama. She's not Lashuk.
She's
Asher Lashuk. She's not Yavama Lashuk. She's the Yavama that's Asher Lashuk. Yes. Yes, doctor.
Are we going to clarify whether this is the Rais or the Rabbanan?
At this point, it's the Rais.
In other words, we're going to clarify it further.
Well, we're going to clarify that Abai is going to slug up Rabba, and that's the end of that. So we won't clarify it because it'll be slugged up. Amalei Abayas, Abayas said to him, you can't, thank you for telling me that. It's on Samach Amal Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before the end of the narrow lines. 60A, I don't know, I assume it's 2, but I might be wrong. No, Amalei Abaya. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before the end of the narrow lines. The line of after Amarava. Amale Abaya, me dummy. How can you say this business of half a divorcee and half an amana? I shouldn't reword that. part divorcee and part widow. I'm not counting halves. Get metziah mishus yabam, misa machasnes lushus yabam. Death doesn't sever. Death to a man who doesn't have children doesn't complete the severing of a relationship. Adarabba, it makes her need yibum. So you're saying this get can be partial because the relationship is severed. Sorry, the relationship is not severed because death is saying she needs yibum. Get is saying she doesn't need yibum. So this is a get that's partial, which can't work. You're making a get, you're still having a get work partially, because in your mind, you're saying the fact that the rest of the relationship is severed by death, that's good enough. But death doesn't do the same thing. Death does not sever the need of Yibum, and get does. And that means the get is working partially, and there's no partial get. So therefore, she shouldn't need Yibum. She should be able to have Yibum. So Abaye's question is, you can't combine get and death. Both, she's not married to her husband, but one is continuing the relationship, and one is severing the relationship, and get has to sever. And the death is not severing. The raya, she needs yibum after death. So that's not a completion of the severing process. Ela ma'abaya, zaktabaya, hatsam, time and my exerim is my yayim and mesi. You're right. Really, according to Rabbi Yochanan, she should need yibum. She should be able to have yibum. If a person says, my yayim ulachamisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a process, and the get is nothing because you can't have a partial get. She's totally married to her husband. He died. She's chayiv in yibum or chalitza. And really, with the raisa, she's allowed to have yibum. But the Rabbanon are afraid that you will confuse it with a case of tnai. Because even though b'mayay mulach hamisa, Rabbi Yochanan holds it's a process. It starts now and continues. But what if the guy said, Mahayim im mesi? That's a condition. That's clearly a condition. Im makes it a condition. So therefore, Mahayim im mesi, she would be divorced. And she would not allow to have Yibum. So we're afraid that if we tell this woman, you can have Yibum in the case of Mahayim alach hamisa, which should be the halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan, people are going to confuse it with the case of Mayayim and Mesi. And there she has Yibum, it's a Chiyav Karas. Because there the get works. It's a slight difference. One is Mayayim Alach HaMisa, which according to Rabbi Yochanan means you began a process. And one is Mayayim and Mesi, which is a condition, which means it's all retroactive. And means she's divorced, which means she cannot have Yibum. And if people confuse that, you're going to end up doing Yibum to the case of Mayayim and Mesi. And that's chorus. Therefore, they said, even by Yom Alach HaMisa, we're not allowing Yibum rabbinically. Biblically, she's entitled to Yibum. Biblically, you're allowed to do Yibum. She's not divorced at all. There are no partial gets. But if you allow Yibum in this case, people might confuse it with a case of Mayayim and Mesi. If they do it by Mayayim and Mesi, you're chorus. So therefore, they said, even by Yom Alach HaMisa, rabbinically, we do not allow Yibum. So Abaye's answer is that the Mishnah is not allowing Yibum because she's partially divorced, or because she might be divorced. She's not divorced at all. She's biblically eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Rabbanan stepped in and said, we can't allow it for fear that somebody will confuse it with another case where Yibum is not allowed. So therefore, they said, chalitza and no Yibum. Dr. Ashi, im mesi, pshita lo de tanohavi. In that case, for sure it's a condition. Rabbegita lo mefrei, look shiyamos. It'll be a get, retroactive, if he dies. So Abaye is answering Rabbi Yochanan, no, kedushin is a process, and she's partially married to all the people. No, get is not a process, because you can't have a process in get. Get has to finish, and I'm sorry, you can have a process, but if it doesn't finish, it's zero. Because of that halacha called krisus. But we're afraid that people will confuse it with a case of condition. Therefore, the Rabbanan stepped in and said, no Yibum. Zok to Gemara. V'nigzer Mayayim and Mesi de Tachlot unto Mayayim Alach HaMisa. So in the case of Mayayim and Mesi, what if he did make a condition? The rule is, she doesn't need chalitza. She's not allowed to have Yibum, because if it's a condition, she's divorced. My wife, Im Macy, is saying it's retroactive. So she was divorced, and if he does Yibum, it's Karis. And the halacha in the Mishnah is, the Bavayim Im Macy, she doesn't even need Chalitza. She's not married. She's divorced. Now, if you get afraid that people are going to confuse the two cases, so why aren't you afraid that people will confuse Mayim and Macy, and if they see that you don't do Chalitza there, but Mayim and Lachamisa, they won't do Chalitza. And that's wrong, because biblically she needs Chalitza. If you're afraid you're not letting Yibum by Mayim and Lachamisa, because people will confuse it with Mayim and Macy, you should require Chalitza by Mayim and Macy, because people will confuse it with Mayim and Lachamisa. Just like you confuse one way, you might confuse the other way. So why don't we require Chalitza in the case of Mayim and Macy? And we don't. So the Gemara's problem is, if the whole reason you're not allowing Yibum by Mayim and Lachamisa is because of the fear of confusion with Mayim and Macy, so why aren't you afraid the other way and require Chalitza by Mayim and Macy, because you'll confuse it with the case of Mayim and Lachamisa and you won't do Chalitza there? What's your problem?
Yeah, I mean, Macy is self-understood that she's fully divorced.
100%.
So
why will people confuse Mayim and Lachamisa with Mayim and Macy?
The way that any time that a lady gets divorced and her husband dies, like 2 years later, that
yeah, but it's not exactly what happened here. The get didn't kick in until he died, then it became retroactive. It's not like you can ignore the death. It didn't happen 2 years later. I mean, it might have, but the get only kicked in at the end of the day when he died. It didn't kick in beforehand. The riot is, you are afraid you'll confuse the other way. That means obviously the cases are very similar, different but similar. So why aren't you afraid you confuse this way? So to Gemara, because we have a problem. Because every time we say Chalitza no Yibum, in the back of our mind lurks a fear that the guy might do Yibum. He'll say, if I'm doing Chalitza, I might as well do Yibum. So we don't like to put chalitzas on when Yibum will be an Issa D'Oraisa. Adding chalitza sounds great, but if you add chalitza, you run the risk that Mr. Brother will say, I'm doing chalitza, why can't I do Yibum? And if he does Yibum, he's either Karas. So we don't like, we have to weigh our options here. We're making Zeri, he should need chalitza because we'll confuse him by Yemel Achamisa. But then you're opening you up to a different problem, because he might do Yibum, and that's Karas. So it's better not to open up to that problem. So the Gemara said, what are you going to do with Vayem Elach HaMisa? There you're saying Chalitza no Yibum. Why aren't you afraid there? There you're setting up a situation where you say Chalitza no Yibum, maybe he'll do Yibum. If you're telling me now a new thing, that we don't like to do Chalitza because it might lead to Yibum. So then why in the case of Mayim Lachamisa did you do it? Zog to Gemara, to Shabbat Ve'Mekachlum. Because over there, biblically, she's entitled to Yibum. We only banned Yibum because of Rabbanon, a fear. So what are we afraid of? That if we do Chalitza, we'll do Yibum? If he does Yibum, he didn't do anything wrong. Shashad Rabbanani. So in the case of Mayim Lachamisa, she needs Yibum. We ban Yibum because we're afraid you'll confuse it, Mayim and Macy. So we say only Chalitza. He might do Yibum. If he does Yibum, he's fine. Biblically, he's supposed to do Yibum. In the case of Mayim and Macy, he's not allowed to do Yibum. And therefore, we don't want him to do Chalitza, even though there's a fear that you might confuse it with the other case, but there's a fear he might do Yibum, and that's a bigger fear, and therefore we don't say Chalitza. That's what the Gemara ends up saying. So again, let me try to explain it to the best of my ability. There are two cases, they're very similar, and the halacha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is 100% opposite each other. But Mayim Lachamisa, she's married to the guy when he dies. Mayim Macy, she's not married to the guy when he dies. In one case, she needs a biblical Yibum. In the other case, she's prohibited from a biblical Yibum. But they share a similarity because they sound similar. So therefore, came along Drabbanon and decided to institute Xeris, so people shouldn't confuse the two cases. And they said, even though she needs Yibum, we're going to say only Chalitza. Because we're afraid, if you do Yibam here, you might do Yibam by Mayim and Macy, which is biblically prohibitive. So the Gemara says, so why don't you need Chalitza by Mayim and Macy? Because if not, you won't do it by Mayim and Lacher Misa. The answer is, there is a bigger fear. If you tell him Chalitza, he might do Yibam. So we can't have that. Over here, if he does Yibam with the prayer, it's okay. Because biblically, she's supposed to have Yibam by Mayim and Lacher Misa. Rashi. Zach Rashi. Ultimate Mayim.
All this stuff is being done in Bezdin, correct?
Yes and no. There's no mitzvah Yibam has to be done in Bezdin. God can do Yibam without Bezdin. He calls over to Adam and says, listen, my brother died, he has no kids, I'm going to do Yibam. And they watch him go into a room with her, and Yibam is over.
Does he have to get
sucked
Bezdin first?
For Yibam?
Yeah.
Only if she comes to Bezdin screaming that she doesn't want it. Why is Bezdin getting involved? Does one need a bezin to get married? I don't know, I go to chuppahs all the time, I don't see a bezin. There's no bezin necessary.
What was bothering me is that it's just, oh, first big mistake. Mistake, well, if bezin's there...
Bezin's not there.
That's the answer.
Nobody needs a bezin for you. If she runs to bezin saying she doesn't want Yibam, bezin weighs her claim. Is it, should we get involved to stop it? Should we not get involved to stop it? But he doesn't need her. If they both agree to have Yibum, all they need is two Adam. They walk into a room, it's done. It's like Kedushin. You don't need a Bezin for Kedushin. You don't need a Bezin for Chuppah. Well, he needs nothing. Nothing is necessary. Except it's monetary anyway. We went through this a million times. Yes?
Since we brought it up, what is the function of Adam by Yibam? I mean, there's some change in her status. She is usher to the world prior to Yibam, and she is usher to the world after Yibam.
No, there's a big change. There's a big change in the status. She's married to this guy. She's an anxious ish. She gets Misa now. She wouldn't get Misa beforehand.
As the Yibama, she doesn't get any punishment?
She gets Malkus, maybe. Kalav. This is Misa. She becomes an anxious ish.
No, I understand. There's usually... based in by change in status.
You don't need Bezin for change in status. You don't need Bezin for Kedushin. Adam are there.
Sorry, yeah, I meant, you're absolutely correct. I misspoke. I meant Adam. But,
Weren't there many other scenarios in Yibamus where you do collect?
You're putting yourself on a show.
I don't remember.
See, that's exactly. You cannot ask questions like that.
That's what happened to me yesterday.
Have you
embarrassed me also?
I didn't embarrass anybody. I just said, if you have a question, show it to me.
I have to look it up.
There are many cases where biblically she's entitled to Yibam. We don't let Yibam happen. That there are many cases. For instance, Grusha to Kain Hedget. Biblically, I say it's Derech HaMoitzesa. But because the fear he might live with her a second time, we ask him to live with her the first time. To Rabbinic Ban. With Rabbanim Ban Yibum, they still need Chalitza. I don't remember a case, and that doesn't mean anything. All I'm saying is, I don't remember a case that biblically she's not allowed to have Yibum, and they require Chalitza. Well, I do remember one case. I'm on a Lekayin Gadol, which is a lav and an asay. So biblically, she's not allowed to have Yibam, and still we need Chalitza. But that's one, the only exception to the rule of Kol Shein Eidel Yibam Ein Eidel Chalitza. There's a rule. Whoever is biblically not allowed to have Yibam doesn't need Chalitza. There's one exception to the rule. We learned it out from the Olsi of Emtei Ashara, and that's Yavama Lekayin Gadol. I'm on a Lekayin Gadol. That even though biblically asay is not doicha lav and asay, so biblically, she's not allowed to have Yibam. She still needs Chalitza. That's the one exception that I remember. Every other case that she's biblically not allowed to have Yibam, there's no Chalitza. Because of this Svara, Shimato Eimecha, let's this Misyavem. she's not needed with the Raisa, but the Rabbanan didn't add it because she matrei mechalas is mitzvah.
Cases where she needed the yibum deraisa, and we don't.
They came along and said, we don't allow it. We don't want it. But if she did it, she didn't violate any biblical law. That's why I said, if you have cases, you can show them to me. Zatrashi, Atamayev Alachem, he said, the Pshita L'Rabbechen, the Shiuruhu, V'lo HaVeget Klau. According to Rabbechen, that's not a get. Mashani, Im Atamatsricha, Chalitza, Atanami Li'Huma. The Amar, but that's Chul Chalitza. People, the guy will say, since they need the Chalitza, Kimlu Rabbanim to Lam Gitahu. The Rabbanim must have decided that divorce is not good. V'asa Li'Huma, Grusha, V'hi Bekaris. Why aren't we afraid he'll be miyabim there? The matzayim chalaitzes misevemus. Mishami, it's a shabbat. Bein bekaklum. Nothing will happen. The gita the shaybe lav gitu klal. It wasn't a get at all. While the tzayim lay misevemus, chashoshet rabbanon. He was only a fear because of atamayim and mesi. Now there's a girsa that Rashi had that added words to this gemara. And Rashi says they don't belong here. Achazaka the Yabam Makmina law. There was a girsa that said, leave her with the chazaka of Yabam. L'shayach l'misniyachi. It has no shaykhs here. Ela b'yavam has got me milsi achriti dimishum sveikim b'perik da'arachim. Those words are used when it's a suffix. We use chazaka in the third perik in Yavamas. Avil hachad, that feels sveikim look. There's no suffix here. She's not divorced. L'boy chazaka, v'vadi yavami. So Rashi said there was some girsa here that extra words that don't belong here. That's why we don't have them in our Gemara, because Rashi came along and said they don't belong here. Look to Mishnah Vayitra. Ha'imer li'isha harat mekadeshes li amenasha et melach masayim zuz. A guy says to a woman, you're mekadeshes to me on condition that I give you 200 zuz. Harizu mekadeshes hu yitain. She's mekadeshes with whatever he gives her now, and he's obligated to keep his condition of giving her 200. If he doesn't pay up, they're not married, because there was a condition. This is a clear condition. Al-Manas is a condition. Al-Manas ha'et m'loch m'kayim b'atlam b'joim. If he says, I will give it to you within the next 30 days, nasa l'abatach shloshim yayim b'kadashas, m'lav einim b'kadashas. If he gives it to her within 30 days, she's married? Not. The Gemara's going to want to know, what is the Kiddush?
What?
What's the first case? First case, he says, I will give it to you, but no time limit. So she's Mekadeshes, but he has to pay up. The second case is he gave a time limit. And the Mishnah is telling you that the time limit is serious.
I mean, this
the Gemara's going to ask, well, why would I think it's not serious? He said 30 days, right? Listen to him. But the Gemara's going to ask the Kasha. So we like to leave the Gemara to answer its own questions. Yes. Nothing to do with
ksuba.
Can
he use the ksuba as the payment?
No, ksuba's not paid till after the divorce, no.
Rabbi, where's her agreement?
She said yes. She says yes.
She
sticks out her ring and accepts the ring.
Okay, so there's a ring, there's something there. Okay.
A pruta, Rashi says he gives her a pruta now.
That's
after Nisuan. We're dealing with Kedushin.
Oh.
Amenashi Ashley Messiah Zuz. He marries the woman on the condition that he has 200 Zuz. Harizuma Kedushin Vyashli. If he has, if the Kedushin worked, the Gemara is going to want to know what the Kedush is. Amenashi Erech Messiah Zuz. Harizuma Kedushin Vyirla. I'll show you 200 Zuz. He has to show it to her. But it means he shows her his own 200 zuz. I'm not taking her to the bank and showing her $200, no. Amenashe erech mesayim zuz means I will show you 200 zuz of mine. The pera al shulchan ein mukadeshes. If he's a banker, and he says, look, I got 200 zuz here, but it's not his money, she's not mukadeshes, because implied, I will show you 200 zuz, doesn't mean they're going for show and tell. It means that he's going to show her his 200 zuz. Rashi. Harem HaKadeshes li b'prut tzu amanash et melech mesayim zuz. Hachi gosinan, v'mhera al shulchan eidna mukadeshes. V'hachi prushim, hoyo shulchani, he was a banker. a money changer. Showed her money didn't belong to him. They're on the table. A shulchani is called a shulchani because he keeps money on the table. They had a table, money on it, and people came and changed money. That's why he's called a shulchani, because his money was on the table. She meant his money. What?
That what
do
you give her? Showing her money?
He gave her pruta on condition that he will show her to other zuz. Rashi said, the first Rashi, bepruta zu almanas. He gave her a ring. And he said, this should work on the condition that I show you 200 zuz. He took her to his bank, and he showed her 200 zuz. It's meaningless. It has to be his 200 zuz.
He could have said also, here's a star.
Yeah, but that, I'm just reading Rashi.
No, I'm just saying, it has nothing to do with because it's money. End up using money as a tanai. Money has to be the chalos, right?
Correct.
And that's irrelevant.
Correct. Again, I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill. A guy was Mekadesh a lady. He gave her a pruta, and he added a condition. I don't know, forget about everything else. It's a very simple case. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. A guy walked over to a lady, said, Arat Mekadesh a lady, but pruta zu, amanas, she'etelach Messiah zuz. Nothing, just leave it alone. Let's not make the guy into a lamdan. Let's leave him alone. He just said regular words. Why are we looking to make problems?
No.
Itmar.
I was just trying to say all the
Itmar. Ravuna Amar. Now here's a basic machlekes. I'm going to learn it like Rashi. It's a big machlekes for Shainim, but I'm sticking to Rashi's shot and Tysus' shot. Itmar. Ravuna Amar Behu Yitain. Ravuna says the Kedushin kicks in now. You don't have to wait for the condition to be kept. Almanas means retroactive. When a guy says, he to the lady, I am marrying you, and he gives her money, almanas that I will do A, B, and C. When is she married? When he does it, is it retroactive? Or does it not work till he does it? Or is it a suffix? What does almanas mean? Is almanas retroactive? Or is Amanath suffix? Is it retroactive? Is it not retroactive? Those are the two mandi I remember in the Gemara. Rav Huna says, Amanath is like Ma'achshav, which is a condition. The guy says, Mahayoyim im, it's a condition. Amanath is a condition. I'm marrying you now on condition. That means when the condition is kept, it's retroactive. Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda says it's a suffix. She's not for sure married. Maybe the words mean retroactivity. Maybe they don't. And therefore, she's not definitely married till he pays up. What happens if she caps the kedusha with somebody else? According to Rav Huna, married to the first one. Retroactive when he pays. According to Rav Yehuda, we don't know. It's a suffix.
What happens
if
he dies?
We do a Luvaya.
I'm sorry?
A Luvaya. You're a Kayan, right?
Yeah.
She dies, no. According to Yehuda.
I'm saying according to...
Did he pay up? Did he pay up?
No.
So then she's not married.
But I thought you remember said she's married now.
If he keeps the condition, she's retroactively married. The guy didn't keep the condition, so she's not married. Again, if a person would say, "May achshav im mesi," I'm sorry, "May achshav im etan loch masayim zuz." If he would say the word "May achshav im," key word here, "im." If I give you 200 zuz, everybody would agree that when he pays 200 zuz, he's married. May achshav. That's what the words mean. Everybody. This is not my yom ulach misa. This is im. Im is condition. No shaila. A yachshav is retroactive. Question is amanas retroactive, or is amanas not retroactive? May yachshav is retroactive. Amanas is not Mayakshav. He said on condition of. Does that mean on condition of retroactive? Or does that mean on condition of maybe retroactive, maybe not? We don't know. And therefore she's suffering Mukadashas. Rav Huda says she's Vadai Mukadashas if he pays up, retroactive. And Rav Yehuda says she's not Vadai Mukadashas because we don't know how to deal with Amanas. Just like we didn't know yet in the last 2 days how to deal with the word Mayim Mulach Hamisa. Here it's Amanas. He did make a condition, but the question is the condition retroactive or not?
So, according to Rav Yehuda, is she violently married at any point?
When he pays up, she's married at that point.
In the first 18 days...
I don't know how many days. What
it is. That's the number, right? You remember that all the time, it's the number.
That's right.
The first 18 days.
She's Suffolk married. 1 minute. Now, when he pays up, she's retroactively Suffolk married till she paid up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the first 18 days, she's Suffolk married.
Well, till he pays up, she's not married at all.
No, I'm saying.
But when he pays up, she's Suffolk married, correct? That's what the Gemara is going to say. Let's read it inside. If you don't remember who you teach Tanohavi, Mekayim Tanohavi Azo, he keeps it down, meaning it's retroactive. If you don't remember, look, Shiyitin, Lechiyav Havi Kedushi, Hashtami Loi Havi Kedushi, and Rashi explains it's a suffix. Ikimai Benayu, Ikimanayu, she pished Pashti Yad, the Bekibla Kedushi Miyachar. She went and accepted a Kedushi on day 10 of your 18 days. Once he pays her 200 zuz, she's retroactively married to him, and it's not a kedushin. Rav Yehuda have a kedushin. According to Rav Yehuda, it is a kedushin. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, I'm Rav Huna, what he wants. Kedushin chomel mefreya mishas kedushin. Miu, here it is. Ready? Meiner Rav Huna de meis kaidem shenitna. If he dies before he paid, ain't a tshikha chalitza. She's not married at all. Sorry, like I'm sorry, he didn't keep his condition. Kibla Kedusha Miyachar, Kaidim Shikaim Tanai, before the guy kept his Tanai. Viyachar Kach Amazem, Vikavi Kaim Tanai. Ravuna, lo have a Kedusha, Shani Kedusha, lo Kami Kedusha Vishnu Mafreya. Which Ravuna, the first one is retroactive. Rav Yehuda have a Kedusha. Shani Kedushin, Shai Rishon and Nischav and Lekatcha B'Potol Masayim Zuz. But according to Rav Yehuda, the Kedushin is not now, it's when I pay. Rav Yehuda by Ramanaskar, the last letter of Yehuda by Ramanaskar and Ramachshu Dami, very cut me Kedushin Shani. So it comes out that the Shani's Kedushin might have been first. Now I'm learning Rashi as a suffix because that's how the Rishayim explained him. The Rashi is saying Rav Yehuda is not sure. He's saying it might be that it's not kicking in until he pays. It might be not that way. She would need a get from both of them. Zog to Gemara, Tanan Nabi Gabi Gittin Kai Gavna. We have a machloikis, the same two Amaroim, Bagittin. This is not a machloikis Tanoim, it's a machloikis Amaroim. It says, a guy says to his wife, I'm Elisha, Harez Agitech, Amenashe Titni Li Mesayim Zuz. This is your get. On the condition that you will give me 200 zuz. Harizuma Goreshes, Behitite. That's what the Mishnah says. She's divorced, and she should pay. When she gives, she's Mugoreshes Lubafreya. Budama Likshitite. When she gives it, that's when the divorce kicks in. Again, same Achloikas. Is Amanas retroactive, or is Amanas not retroactive? She just keeps the condition. And when she gives it, we know it's a get. Till then, we don't know. When she gives it, it's a get. Right? We don't know if it's retroactive or not. What is the case of a difference? Halacha is a get has to be around when it kicks in. This is not like Kedushin that we said, if he gives it to a Kedushin, even if she uses up the money, she's Mugadashas. For a get to work, it has to be, she has to have it. At the moment that the divorce kicks in, he gives it to her, he says the divorce kicks in 5 days from now, she has to have it in 5 days from now. If it got ripped or lost, she's not divorced. There's no get at the time when the gerushin kicks in. The get has to be in her possession at the time that the gerushin kicks in. Now here he told her, you're divorced on the condition you give me, amanas, 200 zuz. According to Yehuda, the get's not working until she pays up. Now what happens if the get is not around anymore when she pays up? So there's no get. She's not divorced. Because when she received the get, it didn't work. And by the time it works, there's no get. Whereas according to Rav Huna, it's retroactive. At the time, retroactive, she had the get. The truth is, the Gemara could have said she accepted Kedushin from somebody else. Day 10. According to Rav Huna, it's retroactive. She's divorced, so the Kedushin day 10 worked. According to Rav Yehuda, it's not retroactive. The same thing could have been said, but the Gemara just gives another nafkamina. The get got ripped or lost. According to Rav Huna, it doesn't make a difference because it's retroactive. At the time she received it, she had it. According to Rav Yehuda, it might not work till she gets it, till she pays. And when she pays, the get's not around, so she can't get divorced. And she gets her money back. I was afraid somebody would ask that. Rashi, my benayu, a karkak Rav Huna nami asur li nasi achetite. Shemeli is kaim atanai. Maybe the tanai won't work. But get butl, minah mamzerim. Anyway, we don't let her get married. And this is a rule according to everybody. Whenever you make a condition that requires an activity by a get, we tell the woman, don't get married till it's done. Not because it might be retroactive, but if the condition is not kept, you won't be divorced. And meanwhile, you're living with another man. So the Eitz HaTaiva is, don't get married till the condition is kept. You don't want to be stuck in an HSS situation. That's true by an active condition. By passive conditions, this is not true. If a guy says to a woman, "I'm divorcing you on the condition that you don't drink wine for the next 100 days," she does not have to wait 100 days to get married. Because there it's up to her. Don't drink wine. She doesn't have to do an activity. She just has to be not do an activity.
She
can't get married.
Well, it's passive.
No, but it's passive. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't know what she's going to do. She can't rely on him. She can rely on herself. The kiddush is that she can't rely on herself to do an activity. Even if she says, I will give the 200, but who says she's going to pay the 200? Even though it's up to her, but it requires an act on her part. That's why Rashi says, well, who would agree, don't get married. Who says she's going to pay it up? But if she says, I won't drink wine, there's no reason to believe she will drink wine. It needs an act to violate the tanai. Now, when she makes it tanai, he won't drink wine. That's the condition. So then it's not up to her. She better not get married because the guy can mess her up. Yes?
Wouldn't it be more parsimonious to say simply that she's still connected to him? It's not increasing.
She's not connected because retroactively she's divorced. She's not connected at all.
She is still under his control.
According to Rav Huna, she's not under his control at all. She made a condition, you will pay me 200 zuz. He has no control over her.
I meant in terms of the case of wine. But if you drink wine, if her husband...
That's not considered under control if it's not... Let's put it this way. If he makes a condition he won't drink wine for 100 days, it's not considered under his control because it's temporary. It's a temporary control. Because the same way he says you won't drink wine for 100 days, he's also controlling her. So the Gemara says that's called krisis because it will expire. A condition that will expire is called krisis. Whereas if he says you can't drink wine the rest of your life, that's not krisis. Because that doesn't expire. But anything that expires is called krisis. The problem here is, because we don't know if the condition will be kept. So there's a difference between an active and a passive. If she has to do an activity, maybe she won't do it. So she better not get married. But if she's a passive, there's no reason to believe she'll violate and mess herself up. Unless she's an alcohol addict, and then it might be a different story. But I'm not positing that. Addicts have no control over themselves. or actors if they have no I'm not knocking addicts, I'm just saying. I'm not ill, really, because they need help. No, it's sad. It's not a...
It's
a sickness. Addiction is a sickness.
Maybe they caused it themselves.
Again, doesn't make a difference if the guy's sick.
It's a genetic sickness.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
According to everybody?
No, let's not get about my benayu.
Even Scott Pudo?
My benayu. A kark. The Ravuna Nami Asurli Nasachi Titin. Shemelo Yiskai Matanai Ming Rashi. But get Batu Menem Amzera. Now the Gemara will go through the same thing you talked about in yesterday's Gemara. Why do we need a machloikus by get and by kedushin? Amarom don't repeat themselves. If they have a machloikus in one case, that covers the other case. Why repeat yourself twice? You could have said it by get, I would have figured it out by kedushin. You could have said it by kedushin, I would have figured it out by get. Unlike us, and I don't mean to knock us now, we repeat ourselves many a time. We want to explain it better, we say it twice, we say it 10 times. They said it once, and then you knew their opinion, and the rest is up to you to figure out. They didn't come around and repeat themselves 20 times. They didn't. Rav Huda said it once, Rav Huda said it once. Now you know what he holds, now you hold what he holds. No reason to repeat yourself, unless the cases are different, and they have to tell you that they continue holding that way in the other case. So obviously, if they're repeating themselves by kedushin and by get, there would be a svara that you mean it one way by kedushin and the other way by get, or vice versa. So the Gemara is going to do that right now. Utricha. The Ashmina Gabi Kedushin, I would say, Behokama Ravuna, Shimla Kruvikasi. People like to get married as soon as possible. So he means condition retroactive. He'd love the relationship to stay now, start now, but she wants 200 zuz. So he made a condition, but he wants it retroactive because he wants to be married to her. Have a Gerushin of the Rechakakasi. But by Gerushin, people don't act so fast by Gerushin. They like to extend the time period. So maybe when he says Amanas, he does not mean retroactive. That's what you might think. I would say by Gerushin, Amanas that you'll pay me 200, he has no problem asking her for the 200. Therefore, he means retroactive. He's not worried that she won't keep the Tanai, because he'll ask her, where's the 200 zuz? He'll bother her. The Maisi is marrying her in the condition he will give her 200. Here's a newlywed woman. She's going to start asking her husband for the keeper's condition. So maybe there, she's not agreeing to retroactivity. She wants to see the money. She's afraid if she's going to agree to this and count on him keeping a condition, when is she going to see that $200? She won't be able to get married because it'll be retroactive. And meanwhile, she's not married to him because he never kept it tonight, so she doesn't know if he's going to keep it. So what's she going to do? She doesn't want to be in this situation. So maybe there, her agreement is not for retroactivity because it's relying on her to ask him for the 200 zuz. And maybe a woman doesn't want to be in that position.
Didn't you say a different case already that the guy's primaries are and with a and he says, I'll give you 1,000 zuz or 100 zuz. And if she gave her 99, we say that she's not going to ask for. But the whole 100 she will ask for.
True. The Gemara did say that back in Daf Ches. That is true. The Gemara said that she's not afraid to ask for 100. But that's after we have Rav Huna's halacha. There is a havamina to say that a woman would be embarrassed to ask for anything. So the Gemara comes to tell me that it is ignore that svara. This is a havamina. Had he only said it by get, we might have thought kedushin is different. You're 100% right. At the end of the day, the Gemara Daf Ches said that a woman is not afraid to ask for 100. Yes, doctor.
Yeah, I'm sorry to back up, but I didn't want to blurt out the question. Yeah, I'd start when it occurred, but the principle that you just said, that we've seen a number of times that Amorim do not repeat themselves. But the practical matter of this is it's very hard to understand that statement. Because you've got Rav Huna repeating in terms of Rebbe. Rebbe was several generations prior to Rav Huna. He had a number of Talmidim who heard him say that, and they formed different Masoras, which went to different places repeating the words of Rebbe. Similarly, Rav Huna was a number of generations prior to the redaction of the Gemara with Rav Asi and Ravina. Once again, there would have been a number of things. He may have said it once, but it's going to be repeated a number of times by the people who follow him. Especially when you look at the fact that this is an oral tradition. I do not understand how we could say that at all. He may have said it once, but a number of people repeated his words. And yet we do build things off of this, which I have never, over the past 30 years, I have never understood. It doesn't make any practical sense when you look broad enough.
Okay, so let me try to explain it. It might work. And at the end of the day, you still might not understand it, and I understand your question. But I think the answer is as follows. When the Rav Ashi quotes Amar Rav Huna, that means somebody is telling him a direct quote of Rav Huna. He didn't say, this person told me Rav Huna said that. He is quoting Amar Rav Huna, that means he's 100% confident that this is what Rav Huna said. If not, if there was a question where Rav Huna said it exactly, it would have identified sources that say Rav Huna said this, and another person would have said Rav Huna said that. But when you have Ravina Rav Ashi quoting Amar Rav Huna or Rav Huna Amar, that means they are 100% confident that these are the words Rav Huna used. Now, that means they have 200% confidences here. They have a direct Masaira that he said it by Kedushin, and a direct Messiah that he said it by Gerushin. Not interpretation, but direct Messiah that these are the words he used. If not, they would never quote it as a direct Messiah. They would quote who told them this. Obviously, this was universally accepted that Rav Huna had said these words. And therefore, the Gemara asks, why did Rav Huna say it twice? And the fact that it's universally accepted that he said it both by Kedushin and Gerushin means he did say it twice. Yes.
2 points. Number one, I have a hard time understanding because we can't even do that with Brises unless they've got the Heksher of Roshia and Rechista.
So I don't know how Rav Ashi and Ravina did it. But the very fact that they quote Rav Huna without a source means it was a universally accepted. That's what it means.
The other thing is the locus of control you cite, that I understand, but in which case the phraseology should be that it would not have been redacted by Rav Ashi and Ravina. The locus of control is of Rav Ashi and Ravina as to what they include in the Gemara. But it's never said like that. It's always said that Rav Huna would not have repeated himself. And so that phrase, Rav Huna would not
have... Now again, it's still the same. They know Rav Huna said it twice. They have exact Messiah that Rav Huna said this twice.
You don't even have that on Bryce.
Okay, so that's your first question. Yeah. I'm saying the fact that Rav Huna, that Rav Ashi says Rav Huna Amar is saying that he had a universally accepted thing that Rav Huna said these words on two times. I'm not answering your question from Bryce's.
This falls into the category there are many things I don't understand.
Okay, add it to the list, or it was on the list already. Everybody's having a wonderful day.